Hello all. You're tuning in to the Audible Weed Walk podcast on a very special day. I'll explain that. But first, this is Nina welcoming you. Today is Ratha Yatra, or the beginning of the chariot festival. Today, Lord Jagannatha literally translates to Lord of the Universe, a form of one of the Trinity's Vishnu of Puri temple embarks on this annual journey along with his elder brother Balaram or Balabhadra and his sister Subhadra to Gundicha temple, only 2 kilometers from the Puri temple, and gets back in a few days after stopping on their way back at their maternal aunt's house. Gundicha is the wife of the mythical king Indradamnu of Avanti, which is around the present-day Malwa region of Madhya Pradesh. It is said that the king conceived the icon of Jagannatha, while Gundicha, his wife, consecrated it. Gundicha temple is also known as the garden house of the Lord Jagannatha, where they visit annually after recovering from fever. While they spend time in Gundicha, the chariot named as Nandi Ghosha waits at the mazhar of the early 17th century devotee and poet Sala Bega, who was Muslim by birth and was cremated there. There are some nice stories related to this and you can find them online. On their way back, the deities stop at the house of the maternal aunt, goddess Arthashoshini, who at one point had saved Puri from drowning by drinking up half the seawater. Arthashoshini is a form of Shakti. She and Shiva, one of the other trinities, looks after the well-being of the temple as a protectorate. In the last leg of this journey, at the aunt's house, they eat pora pitha. It is a totally yum stovetop cake slash pudding-like signature sweet dish made with rice, jaggery, coconut and lentils. The pora or burnt refers to the caramelized crust. They eat this at their aunt's place before they return after their 9 days journey, which will this year will be 9th July, mark the end of the festivity. What I find fascinating is in such stories is that they are so linked. They transcend region and in this case religion as well. So happy Ratha Yatra to you all. Though this festival is associated with the Puri temple, which is the oldest chariot festival that finds its mention in many Puranas, Jagannath temple, some of them very ancient ones also across India, and the newer ones, and ISKCON, all celebrated with much fanfare. I have a personal liking to this festival because of the looks of the deity, which I always found very endearing, and from my childhood memories about how we celebrated the festival where I come from. There the kids decorate their own little chariots with the help of the elders and pull the ratha out on the street accompanied by palm leaf trumpets available for the occasion with prasad of sugar candies of different colors and shapes made for the occasion to distribute. The festival also marked one of the 2 major melas or traditional fairs that takes place in Kolkata. This mela happens in a few venues and in the different parts of the city and are loaded with fun stuff. For a more detailed account of this festivity, its connection with the wild vidhi plant and a very special recipe loved and eaten by Lord Jagannatha every day and the only one which is cooked by Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of well-being herself, for that, please check out my podcast number 49. But there is a correction to be made there. In that podcast, I had mentioned that the festival is at the end of the monsoon, but that is incorrect. Don't know how I made that slip, but this particular festival takes place at the onset of monsoon. It's like monsoon has started, the change of season and time continuing. Rain, blues and glooms are there intermixed with some period of strong sun. Ailments that are related to the change of season are showing up. With traditional potions and change of diet, people are adjusting and tuning into the new season and there are more rains to come. That is the kind of season in which this particular festival takes place. It boosts spirit morale, like little gap in the dark cloud where the sun peeks in. Nothing works more to shake up the moral and morale and the good, bring in good spirit than a good fair and a, good mela. Apart from all the usual items, the mela or the fair had shops with digestive churna or powder, lip-smacking pickles, loads of sweets. Most of them are not milk-based sweets. They are, sweets made with the traditional items. I'll come to that later. And animals. Yes, even the fairs in the city, one would get small animals that are usually kept as pets, such as birds, which I find it very sad. But then also aquarium fish, guinea pig, rabbits and such. I don't know if the fairs in the rural areas sell livestock also. Signature food in Ratha Yatra Mela for us were large fried papar or papadam as they call it in the south. They were made with lentils and some varieties would be spiced as well. However, never ever in my childhood was I allowed to have a papar from the Mela. Remains a big regret when I remember. If I wanted a papar, I got one fried at home. Notice the food I have mentioned so far. Pura pitha, the sweets that are sold in the mela. And those, they are all made with lentils, rice. Nowadays, of course, refined wheat flour or maida are also used. Coconut and jaggery. None of them use fresh produce except coconut, which grows in tall plants far above the rains and flood water. The other food I have mentioned are pickles and digestive powders, both preserves, and of course papar, a fried food. There's a backstory to this chariot festival that relate to our lives during the rains. Just before this festival, the deities have their annual bath ritual. After the bath, at this time of the season, they get, with monsoon blues and all that, just like us human, the deities get fever. So the only time they retire from public view to recover. This time the traditional medics prepare puluri, a medicated herbal and floral oil to apply. The oil is seasoned by burying it underground for a year. That is, the puluri that is applied this year was actually prepared last year, and the portion that is prepared this year will be saved for the next. There are other portions offered by the Ayurvedas that include Dashamula Modaka, a sweet prepared from 10 or more medicinal roots and herbs, and also Anasarapana, a kanji-like medicated drink to help them cure fast. So, sound like the kanji and the potions that I spoke about last few times, right? The annual potions may be similar or different by region, but they are similar in their use of local plants and resources, and several of them are found as wild and a few of them also weedy. This is also the time the deities are treated with puluri and applied new paint. The natural paint takes 15 days to dry, given the weather. These 15 days, the usual bhog or the food prepared for the deities also stops. So, in my podcast number 49, the wild weedy green preparation you hear about that Lord Jagannatha has to have every day also takes a pause and resumes with the Ratha Yatra. See, even our godheads stops eating wild weedy greens until they get over the rain-induced blues. The bhog preparation resumes with this festival. The pots are kept in several tires and the food is prepared without anyone speaking or any stirring. Imagine the bottommost pot will be difficult to stir. So the recipes have developed such that there is no stirring required. They are prepared as is. What is interesting to note that is the ingredients that are used to prepare them. No, they are not all wild and weedy. Though some of the tubers surely can be called wild. So not much of leafy greens, but a lot of gourds, pulses, coconut, ghee for fat, jaggery as sweetener, turmeric, ginger, and other simple spices, different peppers and barks of plants for heat, no chilies, of course, and rock salt or sandhav lavan for salt. Of course, no chilies, tomatoes, potatoes that traveled to us from South America, or carrots and beets that came to us via the Europeans. A variety of gourd that are used also, they are careful about it because, for example, the snake gourd and the ridge gourd originated in Southeast Asia. They are not kept in the menu. I am intrigued by the use of sandhav lavan instead of sea salt. For Puri temple, located right next to the ocean, cannot go more local than sea salt. Then I think that maybe, and this is purely my theory, that maybe drying, producing salt in the salt pans is something that had started much later than when this, the Puri temple tradition had started. So we, in our own journey and celebration, have a lot more choice of vegetable and greens now. But the food prepared for the deities coaxes us to remember to choose local as much as possible, rather than what is, originally from the subcontinent or not, and also indicate what may be good for us, the gourds, the lentils, coconuts, etc. With the arrival of the southwestern monsoon, there is also a barrage of articles about what to eat and what are eaten in different parts at this time. I was looking at them and realized a few things. Several regions traditionally eat a lot more fried foods at this time. Sweet, other fried foods like, what is that? Purple varieties. And then there is a variety of food that is cooked in Kashmir during this time. Then there are bamboo shoots in places that are eaten in places where they are easily available. Leaves of gourds like bottle gourds, etc. If they are, again, available. And in the areas where people eat freshwater or estuarine fish, there is a tradition of eating preserved or fresh freshwater fish simply cooked. I can think of hilsa fish fried with khichdi as a signature monsoon food from Bengal. And like that, bombil or Bombay duck fries from Maharashtra. A spicy hot soup made with sun-dried nakam, a type of fish in Meghalaya. And most intriguing, raw fish preparation from Arunachal called pasa, where the fish is mashed and with spices, coriander, leaves, onion, etc. and are served in a broth which is made of leaves from a tree which is a Phyllanthaceae family. As you know, Phyllanthaceae is the same family as amla. See, there is no wild weedy greens or herbs as monsoon delicacies. Here in Tamil Nadu, the monsoon is still a couple of months away, and still we are talking so much about rain. So maybe in my next podcast, I will take a break from the rainy topic and revisit that when we experience rain. So see you next week with a new topic. Any recommendations? You can let me know at edibleweedwalk@gmail.com. See you then. Stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.